First Peter chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. First Peter chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
What a wonderful day, and we're so happy that each one of you are here. We've got a good crowd, and we appreciate each one of you for being here today. What does the resurrection mean? What does it mean to you? When you think about Jesus being raised from the dead, what comes to your mind? Read an article this last week that I really liked, and goes like this. A missionary was in the country of Brazil, and there was an Indian tribe they had found there, and they had a disease going throughout the tribe. These people were dying every day. There was a hospital not too far away, but there was an obstacle between this tribe and the hospital, and it was a river. This tribe was so afraid of the river. They were afraid that evil spirits lived in the river, and they would not cross it. But the missionary went to them and said, "Look, I've already crossed the river to get to you. No harm came to me," but they would not believe that. So the missionary went down to the banks of the water, and he reached down in the water, and he put his hands in the water. Pulled his hands up and said, "No harm come to me." But yet still, they would not enter the water. People continued to die. The missionary went down into the middle of the river, got waist deep, reached down with the water and splashed it on himself and said, "No harm will come to you." Still, the Indian tribe would not believe him. They would not enter the water because of their fear of the evil spirits. The tribe continued to die. The missionary then jumped into the river, went underwater and swam to the other side and got out on the other side. And when he got on the bank of the other side, he raised his hands and said, "I made it. And you can make it too." The Indians cheered and went into the water. When you think about the resurrection, what do you think about? We think about Jesus, and we think about how that when he was on this earth, that he raised the dead. Matter of fact, he breathed life back in after 4 days. He straightened the limbs of people who were crippled. He made people that was blind to see. He made ailments and sicknesses go away. And there's something each one of us still fear today. And it's death. And Jesus crossed that river for us. In the same sense that this story that I shared with you this morning, Jesus is on the other side. He's got his hands raised, and we know that we can have victory through Jesus. Done some math yesterday, and I come up with about 1,984 or 1,987. Depends on who you go off of, what calendar you go off of, but that's about the amount of years ago that Jesus was on this earth. The average lifespan today is 79 years. If you stack the lifespans on top of each other, I'm not talking about generations. I'm talking about the lifespans. You've got about 25. Folks, that wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago that Jesus was on this earth. It was not that long ago that Jesus died on that cross for our sins. It wasn't that long ago that Jesus was raised from the dead and he conquered death. He conquered death for each one of us so that that can be a fear that we don't have to worry about anymore and that we can cross that river. I've heard and I've preached a lot of sermons around Christmas time, and I've heard and I've preached a lot of sermons around Easter, and I know that the dates and the times we can't pinpoint, especially Christmas. But I do know this. I know there's a lot more people today thinking about Jesus than they did yesterday. And I know there's a lot more people today thinking about Jesus than they're going to tomorrow. And I know that we as Christians, we are so happy and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every day of our life. And every first day of the week when we gather around the table and we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember that sacrifice that he made and we love that and we want to dwell on that because that's where our hope comes from in our life and the way that we live and the challenges that we face. So today, in the same sense as the missionary, when he come up on the other side of that river, I want us today to be able to raise our hands and know that we can conquer the same things. We, as Christians, we can conquer the challenges that we have in our life. And when we think about the tomb, and we think about Jesus at the tomb, I think there's four important lessons that at least I got from this, me studying this, and I hope that you can gain from it too. Four lessons as we think about the tomb. How can I take these things? How can I apply them to my life? Really, the question is, how can I be more faithful? How can I be more dedicated? How can I make sure that I'm the Christian that I need to be and I should be, not only for myself, but all those people that is around me. And the first one is this. Be realistic. The Christian life can be an emotional roller coaster. It can be a roller coaster. You think about the disciples for just a minute. Last Sunday, if this was the Sunday, what if? Last Sunday, they were on cloud nine. They were entering Jerusalem. All things were good. Matter of fact, there was a parade. Matter of fact, there were people cheering for them and cheering for Jesus. There were palm leaves being laid out. There was a demonstration there. These people had left their family, they left their jobs, they left their homes, they left what they knew to follow Jesus. And they had walked with him and been taught by him and had watched all these miracles and watched everything that he both said and that he did each day of his life, and they knew that they were following the King. Now, they were up here on the roller coaster. And when Friday came, they were on the bottom. I don't know what they said, but can you imagine? With their head hung low, everything that I had hoped, everything that I had thought, everything I'd given up, I had followed this man, and now they have put him to death. Only till today, here you come back up with the roller coaster. You're back on top of the hill because he's been raised from the dead. And the same way our life is today, we can look back at that time and say, how many times do we ride that roller coaster ourselves that we're on top of the world? Things are going great. Look, I'm living a good Christian life at this time. And then somewhere this week, Satan gets a hold of us, and we find ourselves at the bottom of the roller coaster, and it's just up and down, up and down. We have to think about that and be realistic in our life. Every day is not going to be an easy day. Every day is not going to be a great day. Found an illustration. says Wallace Hamilton tells us about a man in China who won a prize horse. He was very proud of it, but one day his horse ran away. The neighbor said to him, "We're so sad that you lost your horse. That's such bad luck." The man replied, "Well, I'm not sure if it's bad luck or not." The next day, the horse came back, bringing with it 5 wild stallions. The neighbors rejoiced and said, "What good luck! You had just one horse, and now you have 6. The man replied, "Well, I'm not sure if it's good luck or not." The next day, his son went out to break one of the wild stallions, but he bucked him off, and he broke his leg. The neighbors came to console the father and said, "What bad luck that your son fell off and broke his leg." The man replied, "Whether that is good or bad luck, I'm not really sure." The next day, a general came to enlist all able-bodied men into the army to take them off to war. But his son couldn't go because of his broken leg. So all the neighbors said, "That's such good luck. Your son couldn't go to war because of his broken leg." But the father replied, "Well, I'm not sure if that's good luck or not." The next day, the army came back, returning to a victor's welcome because they had won the battle. Everyone was congratulating them as heroes. The neighbors said, "That's such bad luck. Your son was not able to be honored as the rest because of his broken leg." The father answered, "Well, I'm not sure if that's bad luck or not." And you see, the story could go on and on and on. We have to be realistic as Christians. I told the young people in the back this morning, as we think about the domino effect and our decisions that we make, one thing they have to instill in their mind today is that they need the Word of God. They need to study it and they need to know it. And through studying and knowing the Word of God, we know that we're going to face challenges in our life and everything is not always going to be good. But we also know that Jesus came across the other side of that river. And he's standing there with his arm raised and not even death kept him in the grave. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Sometimes we think our lives to be just like this story I just read to you. But as we mature our faith, we learn to be realistic about our lives and listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." And then verse 13 is one we use quite often. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We find our strength at the bottom of those hills through Jesus. Life is not always on top. Sometimes we're at the bottom. The second lesson I suggest to you this morning that we learn from the tomb is that we need to be patient. We need to be patient because desperate circumstances sometimes can be quickly reversed. Can't help but think, and I know I shared it with you when I first started here, I think. Years ago, I was about 16 years old, and Stan and I just got our driver's license, and we carried a young man home one night. That's before cell phones and before anybody had car phones or anything. And we left Mom and Dad's house that night, and Dad said, "Y'all should be back here in about 30 minutes by the time you drive there and come back." Well, we got there, and Stan and I were always ones to talk and to talk about the Bible, especially in that young person that we had with us, or that person our age we had with us, asked some questions about the Bible. And Stan and I sat out on their front porch that night and talked for about an hour and a half about the Bible. But when we got home, Dad was not happy. He come in the bedroom and he took my driver's license away from me and he told me I could drive when I got to be 20 or 25, whatever he told me, I don't remember. Oh, I was out of heart. I hadn't had them long, and now I lost them. I'll never forget what Stan said that night before we went to sleep. He said, begging maybe we'll wake up in the morning, it'll all be a bad dream. I said, yeah, right. Next morning, Dad come in and said, son, I overreacted. Here's your driver's license. Dad left the room, and Stan looked at me and said, I told you. It was all a bad dream. Sometimes things just work themselves out. That Friday that Jesus was put in that tomb, they were devastated. Their whole world had fell apart around them. But when Sunday came, 3 days passed. It changed their life. Oftentimes, it's only when we're in desperate need or in despair that we need God. You can go back to the Old Testament and you can think about Moses. You can think about him leading the children of Israel out, only to have their backs up against the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army closing in fast. They had nowhere to go. So God helped them. It's just like our lives today. Each one of us, no matter what our circumstances is, never ever give up on God. God sees us and he hears us. And God will help us through each and every trial that we face in our life. He has promised us that. And then the third lesson we learn from the tomb is be faithful, even when God does not change the circumstances. Be faithful, even if God does not change it. You have to go back to the story that I started with. We know what the outcome will be. I go back in my mind right now of the book that Jay wrote, and at the very end of his chapter when he said, I don't know how my life with cancer will end, but this one thing I do know, that my life with Jesus will never end. That's what we focus on, even when our circumstances does not change. Maybe you're dealing with cancer today, or a family or a friend of yours is dealing with cancer, and there's no cure to it. Every day you experience pain, and you face challenges in your life. Maybe your parents or your spouse has Alzheimer's, and you see their mind leaving them each and every day. And you wonder how you're going to get through that. Maybe you have a home situation that's filled with stress and tension. There seems to be no solution to your problems. God is there for us. Josh read for us in the book of 1 Peter. Let's turn back there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in the heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then fourth and final, when we think about the tomb, the fourth lesson is God's plan may be better than ours. We all have plans. We all have things we're looking forward to in our life. A story is told in a children's book about three trees. Now, y'all remember in children's books, trees can talk. So these three young trees were planted on top of a hill. And they were sitting there on top of the hill, and they were talking amongst themselves one day, and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? The one tree says, I want to be harvested, and I want to be a treasure chest. I want fine silver and gold to be stored in me. The second little tree spoke up and said, I want to grow big, tall, and strong, and I want them to take me, and I want to be used to build a ship that carries kings and queens across the water. The third tree says, I want to stand here where when people come here and look at me, they think about God pointed up toward the heavens. Time passes. Men come to harvest the trees. They cut down the first one that wanted to be a treasure chest, and lo and behold, they carried him and made him a feeding trough. A feeding trough that they put feed and hay in to feed animals. The second one come along, and he was not a big ship at all. He was put into a fishing boat. And that fishing boat was thrown full of fish, had a bad odor in the bottom of it most of the time. And the third tree was cut down, and he was stacked in a yard waiting to be used. The story goes on in this children's book, and I found it quite interesting, that the first tree that wanted to be a treasure chest was put in a manger one time, feeding animals. And a young child was born and placed inside this trough. He wanted to hold gold and silver and great precious metals. But yet he held the king, our Savior. The story goes on about the second one who wanted to be a big ship. He was just made into a fishing boat. He wanted to carry kings and queens, but yet he carried Jesus. When the storms came and the seas got rough, he saw the power of Jesus as he calmed the storm. And then the third tree that wanted everyone to look at him and see God was placed in a yard and one day picked up and put on a man's shoulder. And they throwed that down on the ground and laid that man on top of it and drove a nail through his hand and through the wood. And still to today, people see that third tree and they see God. God may have better plans than we have. We need to use our life each day in service to God. I challenge you this morning, if we're about to sing this invitation song, to think about your life, think about your relationship, think about where you're going. Don't let today be the only day that you think about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Let it be every day of your life. Commit your life to God today. Decide today that I am going to live for Jesus. There's no better life. There's no better victory, because one day each one of us is going to enter that river. Every one of us is going to cross that river one day. And if we're looking at the other side and Jesus is our Savior, he's standing there with his arms wide open now, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, turn away from sins, confess that Jesus is Lord? Then today you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, we pray that you will come while we sing.